Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind podcast. This won't be a long show. There's not really much happening other than, you know, the fake climate change, the PSYOP or the rituals trying to bring Donald Trump back. I'll get into that later. But I really wanted to start off with the Shabbat because I just find out new information. And so I like to share it with you guys. Leviticus 23:32 says, "It shall be unto you a Shabbat of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening unto evening shall ye celebrate your Shabbat." Now, I believe people truly believe that the Shabbat is a Saturday. Even when it's not a Saturday or a Friday in Scripture, and you're basing this day off, the sixth day and the seventh day, you're basing it off of the Gregorian calendar, which is not even 500 years old. So they didn't even use that calendar around that time. And you can't be following the commandments or following all of the commandments if you truly don't search out the truth of this real Shabbat. It's important, and I'll get into it later. It is important for you to find the real Shabbat. Now, I already told you to go to www.enochcalendar.com. He explains it all. He does videos. He does posts. He even makes it easy for you to follow along in a Gregorian format. He even puts the biblical events there for you. So you don't need me every episode coming on and say, "Hey guys, next month, the Feast of Booths or the Sukkot is next month," and getting to be prepared. Like, you should know all this already. You should be printing out the calendar and getting ready so you don't fall behind. But I still see a lot of so-called awakened Israelites clinging to this Saturday Shabbat. And I get it. You work. I get that. You work. So you don't want to transgress the Torah. But you're not going back into Jubilees. Specifically, Jubilees 2 and Jubilees 6 pretty much lays out exactly how the Shabbat is ordered. It's ordered by the sun, the day. And he says it in Jubilees. He says the sun shall be like, should be ordered, should keep the Shabbats in order. He didn't say the moon. He didn't say the nighttime. So I don't know where people really get this Friday evening until the Saturday evening is the day of rest. I don't get where people get that from. It's not even in Scripture. And that's why I love the Sefer, because if you go to the search page and just type in Shabbat, read everything that has to do with the Shabbat. I tried to do that myself, and I could not find not one Scripture that says that Friday evening and Saturday evening is the Shabbat. I don't even see Saturday in there. What I do see, I see it in Enoch, and I see it in Jubilees in 2 and 6. I see them talking about the day, the light. The day starts at light. It doesn't end at darkness, and the next day starts at darkness. That makes no sense to me. The more you read, the more you research, it should start to feel odd that you still do Shabbats on Fridays and Saturdays. And the only reason why you do that is because this system, this matrix, is set up by Edom. There's Edom Jews, just like the Ashkenazi Jews. And since Edom is running this calendar and running this matrix, they make sure their Shabbat is on a Saturday. Why? Because Orthodox Judaism worship the star Saturn. That box in the middle that they made a pentagram on top of it, they worship that. So of course their day of rest is an ode to their God. Their God is not the Most High. They just see the thing is about religion, they really pull. That's all they're doing. They are pulling away all of our history. They're pulling from it and creating the worship of their gods, which is really stars and the moon and the sun. That is it. That is the gist of most religions, is the sun. Because that's the only thing people back then really put their eyes on. Like, you knew it was there. Like, you saw this big, bright ball. Imagine you didn't know nothing. There was no technology. And you just randomly saw this big old ball that moves. You don't know who it is. You don't know what it does. You just know it provides light. And then it goes away. And then you see the moon come up. And then you awe at that. You see the stars. And you're like, who are these? Like, why is this stuff here? Like, I get it. people must have been dumbfounded when they saw the movement of the sun and moon. Dumbfounded. Like, this must be God. Even though people told them that this, the Most High is above all that. But people, at that time, people only know for what they saw. They really didn't have that much faith. And Abraham says it. He says it in Jasher 9:12. And Yahuwah gave Abram, at that time his name was Abram, an understanding heart. And he knew all the works of that generation were vain. And all their Elohim were vain and were of no avail. So people were carving with wood, carving stones, we're just carving idols, gods, and then calling them, you know, the god of the wind, just like they do now, or they did then, like the Nordic and the Celtics. Like, they had Odin, they had Thor. Where do you think all these Avengers come from? It comes from these old mythologies. One for fertility, one for beauty, one for the sky, one from the clouds, one for the sun, one for the moon. And that's what these religions are. So why do they call them Abrahamic religions? Because Abraham, at one point in time, was caught worshiping the sun and worshiping the moon and stars until Yah had to set him straight. Like, I am the creator of all of this. I created this. The sun is not a god. The moon is not a god. And you would think people would be wise enough now to understand that. They're not. Just like Christianity. It doesn't matter how many times you tell Christians that Jesus Christ is not real. All they have to do is dig. But they don't want to dig. Because then it would disrupt their vanity. It would disrupt their stiff-neckedness. It would make them seem like they need to be humbled. They need to be humbled. They would seem like they're wrong for everything they've been telling everybody. Oh, Jesus Christ is. Oh, I love Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When really, if you go back, the letter J is barely the same age as the Gregorian calendar. The Greeks, and when Ptolemy, the Greeks, got into Egypt, and when Egypt was destroyed, killing Cleopatra's children, Ptolemy took over. The Ptolemaic dynasty. He took over, and it was Greco-Egyptian. So what they got out of that was Serapis. He was the worship of the sun. And the earliest followers of Serapis were called Christians because it was Serapis Christos. Then Helios Christos came along, which is another sun god from Greece and Rome. They pretty much the same thing, Greece and Rome. Then people worshiped him. And then that's where you get Jesus Christ. Before even there was a J, it was Jesus Christ. Where do you think Isis came from? Isis, Rome, Esau, Edom. These people, they're making up sun gods and pulling our scripture from it. Because you need to have people believe. You need hard evidence that these people existed. And the reason why people keep making these fake idols and these fake gods is because they didn't have a backstory. They didn't have anybody say, oh, I saw this person. Oh, I saw this. They didn't have all that. So they kept trying to pull from our history to make their gods more real. So when Jesus Christos became prevalent, it was after Yahushua already came into this world, crucified, went up to heaven. They turned it into Jesus Christ later. Then it's in the Bibles, in the King James Bible, everything was Lord, which is Baal, Jesus Christ, Lord and God. And a lot of people are still trapped by this ideology, this theology. And Christians don't know that they're worshiping a sun god. That's all Jesus Christ is, a sun god. That's the reason why Christians put so much emphasis on December 25th and Easter, because it's the movement of the sun. You know how right now it's about to be, you know, September. So, of course, it starts getting darker early. So the sun's movement is what they've been tracking. And I'm going to get into it later in Maccabees so I can put it all together for you. But that's all it is. It's sun god worship. So the days are dictated by the sun, by the light. And since the sun moves in and out of its gates, that dictates the days. Very simple. It dictates the days. The sun does. Not the moon. Not the nighttime. Not the evening. The sun. So if Yahuwah said, so if the Shabbats are on Friday evening to Saturday evening, why didn't he say this in any of the scriptures except Yom Kippur? If the Shabbats were Friday evening to evening to Saturday evening, then he wouldn't have had to say, it shall be unto you a Shabbat of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month, at evening from evening unto evening, and shall ye celebrate your Shabbat. So it'd be like a rest, and you're not supposed to do any work. Okay? It's not supposed to do anything. Which a lot of you are going to fail at this because you have to work. So you might as well get used to it. We are not in our land. We are not in our inheritance. We are still in captivity. And that is the beauty of trying to find the proper calendar to follow so you can understand this isn't home for you. That's how you detach, to understand this is not your home. So stop trying to fit his commandments into a Gregorian schedule. Because I'm telling you, doing it wrong. And he says in Jubilee 6 that the children of Israel will do it the wrong way. And it will follow who? The error after the ignorance of the other nations. So if Yom Kippur, if every Shabbat was like Yom Kippur, then the Most High wouldn't have to say evening to evening. He would just say, oh, celebrate Yom Kippur. And you would already assume it's evening to evening anyway. This is the only time he says evening to evening is when he's referring to Yom Kippur in Leviticus 23. It's important for you to find the proper Shabbat. If you look up the Shabbat in the Britannica Dictionary, it even says, even though they replace it with Jews, but the gist is, they say if you want to conquer the Jews, which is the Israelites, when you want to conquer the Jews, have them not observe the Shabbat. That's how important the Shabbats and the days of rest are to the Most High. It even says in Jubilees that the angels themselves in heaven observe the Shabbat. Now, what calendar do you think the angels in heaven are on? You think they're on the Gregorian calendar? You think they're the angels who've been around since creation, has literally since this all started. You're going to tell me they stopped observing the Shabbat all the way from Enoch to when it got to the Gregorian calendar? Since you guys been born, the only calendar we've known since we've been born, you think they switched up and said, you know, we got to follow the Gregorian calendar now. Hey, we got this calendar. We're going to do Friday evening to Saturday evenings for Shabbat now. No way they did that. No way. They are in heaven right now wondering why y'all not doing the proper Shabbat on the proper day. When the information is right in front of you. And like I said before, a lot of you, it's going to be trouble for you and it's going to be hard work because you work. I understand. You think the Most High don't understand that? You think he's not an understanding father? I know a lot of us, that's the natural fear that you get when you don't want to transgress, when you don't want to break the Torah because we knew what happened to our forefathers and our ancestors. I get that. He gets that. But it's all in your heart. If you're trying and you're struggling and you're trying to follow a proper Shabbat, you don't know what opportunities could be put in front of you to make you at ease for where you to follow the proper Shabbat. You don't know that. You could pray and say, you know, Father, please help me. I want to observe your holidays. I want to observe your feast days in its proper time. Please help me out with opportunities. And I'm not saying that he can change your life in a blink of an eye. But I'm saying, as you progress, you don't know what opportunities you could get better than the one you're at now, especially your job, that can free you up to be able to observe the Shabbat. Look what he did to Job. Job lost literally his entire family. He lost cattle. He lost livestock. He lost money. And what did Yahuwah do in his lifetime? Gave this man more life, extended his life, and had him watch maybe what, 4 to 5 to 7 generations of children? So he was able to have more children, then watch his children's children's children grow up. So that should be a witness to you that whatever the enemy takes away, Yah could give you more and double it. More and double it. So it should be exciting for you to find out what the real true Shabbat is. And stop continually keep posting or telling people, oh, Shabbat Shalom on a Friday, Saturday evening. And then get ready to reprimand people for not paying attention to that Friday and Saturday Shabbat when you're wrong. It's all about searching him 10 times more. Once you find him, search for him 10 times more. Now, you should already be understanding that this time, these times are flying. Like I can't believe already it's Saturday. I literally was going to do this show on a Wednesday, but it just, the days and the times are just flying by. But it also said these days were happening. I'm going to give you three separate men from, I'm talking about from almost, what, 5 to almost 1,000 years apart from each other. Different ends of the world all said the same thing. Enoch 80. In the days of sinners, the years shall be shortened. Their seed shall be backward in their prolific soil. And everything done on earth shall be subverted and disappear in its season. The rain shall be restrained and heaven shall stand still. In those days, like I love when they say in those days because you know it's in the future. In those days, the fruits of the earth shall be late and not flourish in their season. And in their season, the fruits of the trees shall be withheld. My backyard has 2 mango trees and 2 coconut trees. Now, one mango tree, both of those mango trees really didn't even produce enough fruit. And usually, I would have mangoes dropping in my yard. Like, as soon as May comes, I got at least a whole tree. I'm not talking about a small tree. It's a big tree. I have a whole tree of mangoes. This year, it was nothing. And I have another tree that's a different type of mango tree, and it barely produced any fruit. Barely. I got 4 or 5 banana trees in the back, too. None of them produced. I had 2 of those produced, and they didn't even come to full maturity. So I sense, like, certain things are, you know, like it says in Scripture, things are not happening the way it's supposed to happen because the time is flying by. The moon shall change its laws and not be seen at its proper period. That is important because that some of the Israelites or some people are trying to stare at the moon to try to figure out the Shabbat. And it's not by the moon. The new moon is not necessarily a full moon. It's a sliver of the moon. But the moon shall change its laws. So that's why you need the sun to help you with the Shabbat. And the proper calendar. But in those days shall heaven be seen and barrenness shall take place and the borders of the great chariots in the west and shall shine more than the orders of light, while many chiefs among the stars of authority shall err, perverting their ways and works. So even the stars going to be backwards. Everything is a testimony. Everything is a witness to us. So people can understand what's going to happen. Like, the Most High is not going to leave us high and dry. That's one thing I love. So it's not like what Satan do. Satan does the same thing the Most High does, but the Most High does it in a simplistic, beautiful way. Satan do it by putting it in movies, putting it in music, and laugh at you why you can't figure it out. He put it in gematria, he put it in numbers, anything. He'll put it in and then mock you with it, get you to hate it. The Most High is not the author of confusion. That's why I love his way. But certain people do not want to open up scripture to find out what the Most High is going to do next when it's plain as day what he says what's going to happen. People need continually to be exposed to how Hollywood is going to tell them how it's going to end. And they're going to tell you a different way, like the end game. That's like the Battle of Jehoshaphat, where you bring the armies of the Most High and the armies of man, and they come down in the battle, and they try to say, like, oh, Thanos, which is literally the Most High, they're going to say Thanos is going to lose, the Most High and his angels going to lose. No. It's like that the movie Predator. I watched Prey. It was a good movie. But, like I said, they mock the Most High. Why do you think them Predators had those dreads like that? If you watch the movie it was the other one they had with Olivia Nunn, and I think his name is Michael Keenan, something like the guy from Comedy Central. Him and the other guy do skit comedies. If you watch that movie, they slick it in there. Like, oh, he's the Most High. Like, they slick it in there. You got to watch the movie to understand, but they slick it in there. So they try to mock the Most High and his angels and Yahusha by putting dreads on a predator with his mouth looking like a whole alien. But that's what they do. But they tell you their way, tell you the Most High's way, their way. And it's going to be all corrupted, and you really got to have a fine-tooth comb to go through all of it. And it's confusing to most people. But then, like I said before, the Most High is not an author of confusion. So let's get into these worldly events. Now, Texas, this is all by plan right now. This is all by plan. Like I said before in previous episodes, what has happened to Venezuela was a test case of what's going to happen in America. If you go through the Venezuelan timeline of how they went from their form of government, with they're creating their original form of government, to a socialist government, they were destroyed in under a decade. I mean, destroyed. They gave away some of their oil. They kept creating socialist programs, like giving away free money. Inflation hit, it's inflation over there, it still hasn't calmed down. It's the same as it been in like World War I, World War II, when inflation hit, where people had wheelbarrows of cash and you couldn't do nothing but play with it. It could like a million, I don't know, whatever that currency was, but it was like a million something, couldn't buy almost like a loaf of bread or something crazy like that. But this is what's going on. They sent in immigrants into New York. I don't know why they sent it into New York. They could have sent them in any other city. But that should tell you, I've been posting this before, something is going to happen in New York. Just, it's going to be like a 9/11 event in New York again. They've been predictive programming it through numbers. Like I said, the Most High is not an author of confusion. But with these people, they hide everything they're going to do leading up to the Antichrist in their way. So it's going to be in Gematria. It's going to be in movies. It's going to be in news stories. And right now, they have been predictive programming some event is going to happen in New York. I don't know what it is, but it's going to happen. If you watch the movie Watchmen, where Dr. Manhattan, his energy was duplicated and used and blew up New York, they wouldn't put that in there for no reason. They really wouldn't. People think, oh, it's just entertainment. No, it's not entertainment. They prophesy in some of these movies. I mean, a lot of them, they throw you off too. But if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you know exactly what's going to happen. That's why they're flooding in. By flooding immigrants into New York, then you got to cut checks. Then you got to help people out. Then you got to make different programs and socialist programs where you're spending more money. The money that we don't have, we spending more debt fiat currency to help these people out. So now everybody's like, oh, let them in. Before, remember when Donald Trump sent them and tried to get these people in cages and kick them out? People were like, no, let them in. Now they're letting them in because your spiritual energy asked for it. That's what they do. Use Donald Trump to say, no, I don't want this because he's painted as a racist. And then when Joe Biden comes in, now you don't say nothing. Because now you look like a hypocrite by saying, oh, no, don't bring the immigrants in. No. That's what they did that for. They Hegelian dialected everybody into it. Get one man saying, no, I don't want immigrants in here. Then he leave. Then you want immigrants in here. So where do they send them? Send them right into New York to make it. Now you're going to have a Batman type fiasco. Now you're going to have crime. Crime is going to be... And it's a Democratic-controlled city, so anytime Democrats control any of these cities in these states, you know violence and chaos is going to be prevalent. You know it's going to run amok. I mean, I'd be on Reddit and I see so much drama and fights and stabbings and shootings in New York and stuff that don't even make the news. But I can see what they're doing with the energy. They lowering the frequency, trying to turn it up and getting people to either wipe themselves out. But I'm saying like good Samaritans. Like eventually you look at it, well, the cops ain't doing nothing, so I might as well start doing something. So then you get people who are either licensed to carry or even not licensed to carry to start defending themselves or being good Samaritans by shooting and killing other people. It's what the Purge is. It's what Batman Dark Knight Rises. It's going to be like that. Like I said, they don't just create these scenarios and these scripts out of thin air. They predict the program exactly what they want happening. They want crime to be at an all-time high. Canada has partnered with the WEF to have digital IDs. Canada's already screwed up. Canada blew past us in this whole New World Order thing. They blew past us. I could say within a year, they will already be ready to force them to take the mark easily. They don't have the same type of pushback that we do here. We are like literally the last frontier of the New World Order. Why? Because we some rebels in this country. They know they're going to have a problem with us. That's why it's taking a lot longer than any other country. See, China's already fallen apart and already a part of that plan. They're already gone. Their economy's already in the trash. Their government, the CCP, they already outlaw certain news stories that don't even reach here because they control media over there. You don't know. The only time you find out what's really happening, you really got to go digging. But their economy's crashing. They already took the people whose money. They taking it. And since Chinese put all of their money in real estate, the real estate market is drying up. They're changing the codes in their phone, that COVID code, the QR code, they changing them. When they find out they're about to be on lockdown, I seen poor Chinese people run out of IKEA because they didn't want to be in lockdown. That's how crazy it is. And you know they don't got no pushback. They're the most docile people ever. They don't have no pushback. No oomph to them. No grit. So they just take it as is. It's already happening. Europe is close too. Europe and America is like the last two. It's like the last two is going to get this going. Canada already pushed through with their prime minister, Trudeau. It's already happening for them. They don't have, like I said, they just laying back and letting it happen. Somebody asked me, what can we do to prepare? Fam, it ain't nothing you can do. We are not strong enough than these people. We really had to get states of people on our side to come into this truth to actually fight against the government. And we don't have that. My best advice to people is like, yo, bend over and just hope they use Vaseline. Because it literally is going to catch us all. It's nothing we can do about it. We don't own anything. Nothing. Not even our land. We can say we own land, but they can take us up out of our land if they want to. They can take you out of your homes if they want to. Now, I'm going to keep it spiritual with you. The only way they can do that is if they spiritually know that you're in tune, you're synchronized with what they do or what they promote, the narratives. So people who don't even understand it are the ones getting caught. They're the ones that get caught in evictions. They're the ones that are losing their jobs. Biden said digital currency is coming. And he said that it's going to be before this year ends, digital currency coming. Now, I don't think it's going to be that fast. I don't think so. But I do believe it's going to be in the next 2 or 3 years. They got to get this going before Donald Trump comes back in president. My opinion, I think Donald Trump's coming back in the presidency. They wouldn't do all this predictive programming if Donald Trump wasn't coming back. They wouldn't be on this January 6th thing if Donald Trump is coming back. And I said this before, January 6th was a setup to get the liberals to get ready to storm the Capitol. When they do something, when they finagle this next election, I'm telling you, they've already predicted programming it. They started it off when he went against Hillary. He won, and he was talking about, oh, it was a fraud. So he got into office, didn't get out of office saying the same thing. Oh, the voting was a fraud. There's no way that Biden won. So now what do you think they're going to do this time? Because you're already programming to think that the voting system is fraudulent anyway, which it really is. Your votes don't really matter. But now that you getting the psyop of the voting process is being tampered with, you're going to want to do without it. Like Johnny Depp said in an interview, he thinks Donald Trump is the last president. Before we go into the beast, before we go into Antichrist, before we go into tribulation. And it has to be that. Donald Trump has to be the last piece of this. So, of course, digital currency, they're warming it up. It ain't going to be no more, let me take cash out of the bank. For what, fam? It ain't going to be useless. It's going to be useless. Even if you took Bitcoin and transferred or whatever you do, they're going to eat that too. I get a monthly statement of what my 401k and the NFL is doing. It's losing money. Fam, it's losing 60 grand. It's lost. They taking all of our money. It's not like the NFL's losing money. I don't know how they could ever lose money. They don't really report their earnings like that. So you don't even know what they're doing. But all of a sudden they are losing money. The most watched sport in this country losing money. I just laugh. I mean, because y'all got me. But I just laugh. Like literally it was almost close to being a million. Now it's losing money. Losing money. I'm like, these people think they slick, but you gotta stay up on it. But like I said, the digital currency is gonna come. Then they're gonna find some way, like a virus. See, climate change, a virus, or the carbon footprint that they think we be leaving, the carbon footprint and all that is to get you all tied up with a mark in your arm. They want to bring it all together. So somebody's going to complain, oh, I'm tired of having the vaccine card. Okay, put it in your phone then. Oh, I got it on my phone. But you need the digital currency banking app. Like you, all of that, you just can't take cash out. You need to do the app. So they're trying to get everything into that phone. And while that phone is in your hand, somebody's going to be like, you know what? Why don't you just put it in this little tiny chip? You have everything at your disposal. All you got to do is wipe your hand. It's better than having all these apps and da 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 da. They can easily do that. You know how they can easily do that? They can keep coming out with iPhones where they can limit the storage. You know how every time you update your app, it's taking memory, it's taking space out of your phone. So all they got to do is ramp up these apps and put more and more crap on them. So they take up your phone. You'd be like, ah, my phone is slow. My phone not working. Oh, we got this mark. You can take all these apps out. You won't have to worry about an app. You don't have to worry about passwords. You don't have to worry about the codes. You don't have to worry about the face recognition. We got this. Put it in your hand. It's easy. Some people are already doing it already, though. But that's where we are. They had a news story come out. I'm not news story, but really a news post talking about the DeLorean. The DeLorean is what? What year? 88. If you go through Jumantra, Donald Trump's name is 88. It's also DeLorean, I mean, the Back to the Future movie, the first one, also predicted programmed 9/11 was going to happen. So we sat there and watched this movie as children, not knowing that it was predicting 9/11. All you got to do is watch the, it's hard for me to tell you on this podcast, but it's out there. You just got to look it up. Where the scene with the twin, when they were at the mall, if you turn the numbers upside down, one says 9/11. Somebody broke it down to where it's predicted program, a 9/11 movie based on a director. Look up the director and then look up the predictive programming of 9/11 and Back to the Future. It'll blow your mind. Now we have droughts in rivers. Grand Canyon, a drought. We have rivers in Europe, drought. All of a sudden, every river, and they trying to tell you it's climate change. Don't you think, if anybody has a pool, you know how if you want to empty the water out of the pool, you have to go buy or rent the pool pump and you just put it in there and it just and it takes the water up out of your pool. I'm pretty sure they do the same thing. No one. That's why they close the Grand Canyon. That's why they close these parks down. They close the different areas down and then pull the water up out of them. There's no way in the world all of a sudden that all these major rivers in different parts of the country are drying up because of the sun. The sun literally hasn't changed. It hasn't. Nothing has changed. It's been hot every summer. So why now we get to the climate change psyop that all of a sudden these rivers start drying up? It's the same thing with these forest fires. You can't tell me out of all the thousands and thousands of years that people have been on this planet, so all of a sudden you don't find any writings of forests just catching on fire. You don't hear nothing of that. You don't hear about that in history. I don't remember any time in social studies class that I learned about climate change, about how the sun was so hot, it just catches things on fire. You never read that. But people believe it's getting hotter because of climate change. And remember that with the ozone, where you couldn't spray hairspray because it would tear up the ozone? Then it was climate change to a point where it was global warming. They thought the icebergs and all that stuff was gonna melt. Even when the Most High said he would not destroy this place with water again, it would be fire. And it would be fire from him. And I doubt it would be, I mean, yeah, he's going to use the sun, but he's also going to use real fire. So they're trying to get everybody into this climate change and burning forests in Algeria, Australia, Colorado, California, and Europe, all of a sudden, simultaneously, are catching on fire. They threw me for a loop because I said all these places are catching on fire in Africa, one of the hottest continents, didn't catch fire yet. And I ran my mouth. And that sooner or later, Algeria happened. North Africa is catching on fire all of a sudden. Wow. But I really wanted to get into this one lesson about port. Somebody made a video on Reddit talking about how there was a poster for Pepsi where it was a white guy eating barbecue. He looked like he was eating it really clean, like two fingers on, like his hands weren't dirty. And then they, on the opposite side of the billboard, on like literally on the same face of the billboard of the advertisement, there was a black guy. I'm talking about he had barbecue stains all on his hands. He had it on his mouth, like chewing down on barbecue. And somebody said, like, oh, it's subliminal racism. I said, I wish you guys would get out of everything they do is subliminally racist to a degree. But if you knew who you were, you would understand why they do these things. You understand why they give you pork. You understand why they put pork in everything. And this is, we're going to go right to Maccabees, 2 Maccabees. And this is the Maccabean Revolt. Mind you, this is when the destruction of Jerusalem was happening. That means Yahushua was crucified, came back, saw his disciples, and went right up to the Most High. Okay? So that's afterwards. This is almost, after that, that's when they start using this Jesus Christ character. Isos Christos character. Okay? Not long after this, King sent an old man of Athens to compel the Yehudim, the Israelites, to depart from the Torah of their fathers and not to live after the Torah of Elohim, and to pollute also the temple in Jerusalem and to call it a temple of Jupiter Olympus. Jupiter Olympus. So basically they set their, you know, they got Athena, Zeus, Jupiter, all the gods they say live up on Olympus. They came down to Jerusalem. I'm not talking about the fake Jerusalem, the fake Israel over there. I'm talking about Herod and all them. They came down to Africa. Down into Africa and disrupted all of the Most High's temples. Crashed them. So that's like, if you want to look at it, that's like a holy land. Look at a holy land. I'm going to make it a modern story for you. Imagine a holy land that you know this is where this is our inheritance. And they come down there and set up an LA Fitness right where the temple is. They start putting in gym equipment. Because literally that's what they did. They made gymnasiums out of our inheritance on our land. They gentrified it. The coming in of this mischief was sore and grievous to the people, for the temple was filled with riot and reveling by other nations, who dallied with harlots and had to do with women within the circuit of the holy places, and besides that, brought in things that were against the Torah. So they came down here and made the Most High's land a red light district. They made it an Amsterdam. The altar was filled with profane things which the Torah forbids. Neither was it lawful for a man to guard the days of Shabbat or ancient feasts or to profess himself at all to be an Israelite. That's wild. Everything's destroyed. Jerusalem's destroyed. The temples, everything is turned upside down. They literally make a Vegas in Jerusalem. Then they tell you you can't go around be saying you're an Israelite. Ain't they don't want us doing that now? They don't want us to say who we are. I mean, they can't stop it. But it's almost the same thing. Like I said before, you have to understand where these bloodlines come from. And nothing changes. Nothing is new under the sun. Who these people are then are exactly who they are now. No one really changes away from who their bloodline is. Not many. And in the day of the king's birth, every month they were brought by bitter constraint to eat of the sacrifices. And when the feast of Bacchus was kept, the Yehudim were compelled to go in procession to Bacchus carrying ivy. Now, if you want to go back to foundational Black Americans flag, it has what? A laurel crown. Where do you think that comes from? Greek and Romans were infamous for using ivy and the laurel crown for most of their foolishness, especially Wicca, even up northern, even like Japheth's bloodline, the Celtics and all them, they were about wearing ivy and laurel crowns and doing their Wicca witchcraft and stuff and worshiping their gods. So now you know exactly who these people are. Moreover, there went out a decree to the neighboring cities of the heathen by the suggestion of Ptolemy against the Yehudim that they should observe the same fashions and be partakers of their sacrifices. So imagine, again, a modern story. Like now they come down and they set up an LA Fitness. They come down and set up a red light district. Then they come and tell you, you gotta stand and pledge allegiance. You gotta worship our way now. Now why would they be so involved with how we worship? That's the thing is, they knew exactly what our power was, ours is, or was. Well, it is. They know exactly who our power lies. They hear all the stories. And it's not that they went down there and didn't know who we were. They knew in order to conquer us, they had to keep us in sin. They had to keep us away from the Torah. They can't make these laws now. They can't sit here and say, oh, you know what? I don't want any of you Israelites obeying the Shabbat. I don't want any of you following the Torah. They can't do that now. Then they could do it because the Most High allowed them to do it. They're not going to ever go door to door and say, which one of y'all Israelites? They're not going to do that. The Most High allowed. The Most High said, I'm going to destroy Jerusalem because y'all don't know how to act. So I'm going to destroy it for you. I'm going to bring the heathen down to destroy it. So really, Yahuwah uses these people like an NPC. Non-player characters. Go do this. Do this little side mission. And after you're done doing it, I'm going to destroy you later. But go do what I tell you go do. And he tells spirits and the fallen angels, this is what they're down here for. Since they can't go back up to heaven, he tells these fallen angels, go do this. Carry this message here. Carry this message there and do it. And whoso would not conform themselves to the manners of the other nations should be put to death. Then might a man have seen the present misery, for there were two women brought who had circumcised their children. At that time, they didn't want no one to circumcise their children. So right now, they wanted us to eat foods sacrificed to their idols, which is mostly swine. They knew that. They want us to eat pig, just like they want us to eat bugs now. Like I said, these people don't change. Now they want us to eat bugs infested with chitim, which is our stomachs can't digest chitim or chitim, whatever it is. We can't digest that. But they want us to eat bugs. They want us to continue to eat swine and flesh and pig, bacon. Now they don't want us to circumcise our children. Why? Because the Most High made it a life and death situation that you can't come into this covenant unless you're circumcised. Like I said, they know exactly what to do, just like they know exactly how to keep us in sin, how to keep us ignorant, and how to keep us foolish. So, there were two women brought who had circumcised their children, who when they had openly led round about the city, the babes hanging at their breasts, they cast them down headlong from the wall. So they saw these mothers carrying their children, found out that they were circumcised, took the babies from them and threw them off the wall. What did they do here? They went into the homes in the south, dragged babies out, tied them up to pegs in the swamp, and used them for alligator bait. It don't change, fam. These people are who they're always going to be. Bloodlines. Unless they literally make an active approach to follow after the Israelites, to follow us, or cleave to us, it ain't gonna never change. That's why I really tell you, the more you learn and understand scripture and what goes on in history, you could prepare yourself for who you need to be around and who you don't need to be around. Because this type of savagery is going to come out. It's already coming out. I'm going to go to 2 Maccabees chapter 7. It came to pass also that seven brethren with their mother were taken and compelled by the king against the Torah to taste swine's flesh, to taste bacon, and were tormented with scourges and whips. So there were seven brothers and one mother of all different ages. The youngest one was three. So one of them said, but one of them spoke first, said, "What would you ask or learn of us? We are ready to die, rather to transgress the Torah of our fathers." Then the king, being enraged, commanded pans and cauldrons to be made hot. So imagine a big frying pan and a big old cauldron, like a witch's cauldron. Turn the heat up on it. I don't know if they put water or they used it like a frying pan. They put those out. Then they commanded the first son who spoke, cut his tongue out while everybody looking on, even his mother. And after that, they cut limbs off of him. They cut his arm off, cut his leg off, threw him in the cauldron, even when he's still alive, flash him, burn and fry to death. And his mother said, "To die manfully," saying thus, "Yahuwah Elohim looks upon us and in truth has comfort in us, as Moshe in his song, which witnessed to their faces, declared, saying, he shall be comforted in his servants." So when the first was dead, after this number, they brought the second to him to make him a mocking stock. And when they had pulled the skin off his head with the hair, they asked him, "Will you eat before you be punished throughout every member of your body?" So they didn't scalp the brother. Pulled the skin off with his hair before he got a chance to speak. And all they want him to do is to eat a bacon cheeseburger. To eat some barbecue spare ribs. That's all he had to do to be set free. But he answered in his own language, and said no. Wherefore, he also received the next torment in order as the former did. And when he was at his last gap, he said, you like a fury take us out of this present life, but the king of the world shall raise us up who have died for his Torah unto everlasting life. He is talking about Yahusha there. So I can't stand when these fake Christians, these street preaching Christians, try to torment me saying, oh, the Sefer, the books that were taken out aren't God related, aren't Jesus related, aren't Jesus inspired. But if you pour through the scripture, they're talking about Yahusha. Because this is the time he came, crucified, came back, and went up. So they knew of that. I'm going to read it again. And when he was at his last gasp, he said, you like a fury take us out of this present life, but the king of the world shall raise us up who have died for his Torah unto everlasting life. After him was the third made of mocking stock. And when he was required, he put out his tongue and that right soon holding forth with his hands manfully and said courageously, these I had from heaven, and for his Torah I despised them, and from him I hope to receive them again. And this goes to what Yahusha said in Matthew, or I think it was Matthew or John, that he said, if your eye calls you to sin, cut out your eye. If your hands cause you to sin, cut off your hands. So my man put his hands out there and said, I have defiled my temple. I have defiled the Torah with these hands. You can go ahead and take these, because I know when I'm going to be resurrected in full form. Because Yahuwah is watching me sacrifice. So much the king and they that were with him marveled at the young man's courage, for he had nothing regarding the pains. Now when this man was dead also, they tormented and mangled the fourth in like manner. So when he was ready to die, he said, thus, it is good being put to death by men to look for hope from Elohim, to be raised up again by him. As for you, you shall have no resurrection to life. Afterward, they brought the fifth also and mangled him. Then looked he unto the king and said, you have power over men. You are corruptible. You do what you will. You do what thy wilt. Yet think not that our nation is forsaken of Elohim. But abide a while and behold his great power, how he will torment you and your seed. Torment you and your seed. You think the Ptolemaic dynasty is dead off? Where do you think this bloodline went to? It went into Russia. It went into Europe. It went into Britain, into London, France. Where do you think the royal houses come from? That's why they laying claim. That's why they keep promoting Cleopatra, as Cleopatra started Egypt. That's why you only see movies about Cleopatra and her children and Brutus, Cassius, Caesar. Because those bloodlines, the ones that control the movie industry, they know their bloodline comes from that Ptolemaic dynasty where the Macedonians came into Egypt. And then Caesar had a kid with Cleopatra. And then Caesar's homeboy and them had, you know about that whole affair, if you've seen the movie Cleopatra. Did she have more children with him? Mark Anthony. And then they spread out. Those bloodlines kept going. And then they kept, you know, intermingling they got into incest, which left some of their people mangled, like the Habsburgs, when they called the Habsburgs jaw. It's because they were incesting too much. But they were doing all that to keep their name intact, to keep their bloodline, to keep their royalty, to keep their money intact. But they come from the Ptolemaic dynasty. You remember that movie Matrix, the Merovingian? If you look up Merovingian, they are the ones who also claim the bloodline of Ptolemy. If you watch the movie Matrix, the guy who... The guy who was a French guy, he talks all smooth. He's the one that talked about cause and change and effect and all that little speech he had. I think it was the second or third Matrix. But the Merovingian, that's actually a real name. And they're the ones that, like I said, have a bloodline through Egypt, through Cleopatra and their children. After him also, they brought the sixth who, being ready to die, said, Be not deceived without cause, for we suffer these things for ourselves, having sinned against our Elohim. Therefore, marvelous things are done unto us. Our people understood that back then. Just like a lot of you, I don't care if you're part of our nation or not. Most of you need to understand this. If you do not repent, your sins will be added to you and your destruction will be at hand. And you need to understand this. Don't be, oh, it's the white people who won't stop bothering me and oppressing me. Why do you think that is? You don't know you're sinning. How do you think judgment comes? The Most High is not going to come out and put his hand and tell you to pull your pants down and smack your butt. He's going to use NPCs in this nation and wherever you're from. He's going to use them to get you to act right. Just like he's getting the Greeks to make the Israelites or test the Israelites when they have sinned. Our people, the only one that knew that back then. They knew every time they went into captivity, they knew they were sinning. They knew like, oh, we got in trouble again. Oh, we got to go in the corner. Oh, we got timeout coming. The prophets would tell them, look, y'all said y'all acting up. Y'all gonna go back in captivity. And I knew to be, oh, please don't. It's the same thing. Go to your room. That's what he'd been telling them. The prophets would tell them, y'all said y'all need to go to your room. Go into captivity. And they knew they sinned. We the only ones who want to blame other races and nations for us sinning. No one's making us sin. No one's making you listen to the music you listen to. No one's making you do these stupid TikTok challenges. No one's making you do it. You are doing it yourself because you're trying to be like everybody else. And you wonder why all of a sudden I'm getting punished for they not getting punished. And because they not supposed to. Their punishment comes in the end. Their purpose is to oppress you when you don't act right. When you come into this truth, when you come into this knowledge and you follow these laws, statutes, commandments, and you think you can sidestep your way into this when you come off that narrow road, he gonna put you back on plan. Now, how is he gonna do that? He's going to afflict you using people that are like throwaways. I said this before. The other nations that come of Adam are like spit to him, dust, vanity. That means I made them. I let them live because I could. I made them because I can. He's not concentrated on everybody, but he's using certain people around you to get you to act right. So take accountability for your actions. I'm tired of hearing this, oh, white people did this to me. Oh, they won't leave me alone. Look at yourself first. Oh, black people are picking on me, they make it funny. Fam, look at yourself first. But the mother was marvelous above all, and worthy of honorable memory. For when she saw her seven sons slain within the space of one day, she bore with a good courage because of the hope that she had in Yahuwah. Yeah, she exhorted every one of them in her own language, filled with courageous spirit, and stirring up her womanish thoughts with a manly stomach. She said unto them, I cannot tell you how ye came into my womb, for I neither gave you breath nor life, neither was it that I formed you, the members of every one of you. But doubtless the creator of the world who formed the generation of man and found out the beginning of all things will also of his own mercy give you breath and life again, as ye now regard not your own selves for his Torah's sake. If it's about to go down, will y'all be able to stand up like this woman did? If it really had to go down, if they brought the guillotines to your neighborhood right now, would you be ready to give it all up for Yahuwah? And I love this that part, because even being a mother, which is different from mothers today. Now these new mothers, I'm the goddess. I'm the goddess. I do it all. I'm the woman. I'm the goddess. The life comes from me. All that vanity that these mothers, these new mothers have, as if they walk on water because they've given birth. Not, or they have the ability to take life. and give it. They think it all comes from them. When this mother here is so humble and meek that she said, I cannot tell how ye came into my womb, for I neither gave you breath nor life. And that goes back to scripture that says, oh, you formed me in my womb. You knew me before you made me. That's the humbleness and the meekness that you should have. None of us came in this life by accident. None of us. None of us came here by accident. We all were cared for and loved before we even became a thought in our parents' mind. Yahuwah has seen our life before we even opened our eyes. You guys are listening to me. We are all in this walk together before we even knew we were going to be. That is the thinking we should have. Thank you. You knew I was going to be a wretch when I came into this world. You knew I was going to sin when I came into this world. You knew I was going to defile myself when I came into this world. But your long-suffering and your mercy and grace has awoken my spirit to come back to you. And you knew I was going to come back to you because you knew exactly what I was going to do before I even did it. Now, Antiochus, thinking himself despised and suspecting it to be a reproachful speech while the youngest was yet alive, did not only exhort him by words, but also assured him with oaths that he would make him both a rich and a happy man if he would turn from the Torah of his fathers, and that also he would take him for his friend and trust him with affairs. Now, this young boy, maybe like 2, 3, or 4 years old, not even understanding what rich and poor is yet. And this is what this system does today, isn't it? It takes the brokenhearted. It takes the fatherless children, the broken homes. Hey, I will give you riches. I will give you money. If you turn your back to the Torah, if you turn to me and let me raise you in wickedness. That's exactly what these Greeks were doing and have been doing. What do you think these HBCU farms do? Is pump out all these Kappas, Zetas, Alphas, Omegas. That's what they do. They pop out Greeks. They said, hey, this is what you think is black, but it's actually us. Here, be us. Here, you can, for the rest of your life, you can be known by our Greek letters. Antiochus was Greek. They haven't stopped this program. And we too stupid, we keep falling for it.
Oh, 1906 is the black men, black people established the boule.
No, it ain't. Anything that's attached to that boule and attached to those Greeks, it got Freemasonry in it. It's a sect of Freemasonry. Greeks and Romans were Freemasons. You hearing history repeat itself. But when the young man would in no case hearken unto him, the king called his mother and exhorted her that she would counsel the young man to save his life. And when he exhorted her with many words, she promised him that she would counsel her son. But she bowed herself toward him, laughing the cruel tyrant to scorn, spoke in her country language on this matter. O my son, have pity upon me that bore you 9 months in my womb and gave you such 3 years and nourished you and brought you up into this age and endured the troubles of education. I beseech you, my son, look upon the heavens and the earth and all that is therein and consider that Elohim made them of things that were not. And so was mankind made likewise. Fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of your brethren, take your death that I may receive you again in mercy with your brethren. While she was yet speaking these words, the young man said, whom wait ye for? I will not obey the king's commandment, but I will obey the commandment of the Torah that was given unto fathers by Moshe, a 3-year-old. For we suffer because of our sins. This child knew that. You sin, you suffer. This is after Yahusha has already been crucified and came back. So this, Jesus is going to save me theology that y'all be on. Y'all better wake up from that. Because when the Most High said, I'm tearing this up, it's going to get tore up. Yahushua couldn't even save the destruction of Jerusalem. Because the Most High's plan was to destroy it. Was to scatter us abroad. Was to take our heritage from us. Because he was sick of us acting out. Just as he's sick of us watching us act out today. And thinking we discovered something new. You think twerking, that ain't been around forever and ages? You think being gay, being trans, all that was just something new? They've been doing this. Epagabalus in Rome was a trans leader for Rome. They had priests who was backwards. They had eunuchs. They had sodomites. They had pedophiles. They've had all of that. There's nothing that's going on that is new. Nothing. Makeup. It ain't new. The Egyptians are the one that got into that. And if you actually go back to Enoch, it was a fallen angel that taught women how to paint their face. Just like it's gay men teaching women how to model walk. Women are paying attention to men wearing makeup rather than girls wearing makeup. Women are paying attention to how men transforming into women do their surgeries, and then black women, especially black women, are following after it. Screwing your whole face up. But you, O godless man, and all other most wicked, be not lifted up without a cause, nor puffed up with uncertain hopes, lifting up your hand against the servants of Elohim, for you have not yet escaped the judgment of El Shaddai, who sees all things. For our brethren who now have suffered a short pain are dead under Elohim's covenant of everlasting life. But you, through the judgment of Elohim, shall receive the just punishment for your pride. But I, as my brethren, offer up my body and life for the Torah of our fathers, beseeching Elohim that he would speedily be merciful unto our nation, and that you, by torments and plagues, may confess that he alone is Elohim. And that in me and my brethren, that wrath of El Shaddai, which is justly brought upon our nation, may cease. Then the king, being enraged, handed him worse than all the rest, and took it grievously that he was mocked. So this man died undefiled and put his whole trust, this child put his whole trust in Yahuwah. Last of all, after the sons, the mother died. Let us be enough now to have spoken concerning the idolatry feast and the extreme tortures. So people say, oh, it's not a big deal to eat pork. It's not a big deal to eat barbecue. It is a big deal. Because you set yourself up to be tormented, oppressed. They make it seem now because they can't go, like I said, they can't go door to door, snatch you out of your house, and try to make you eat pig. They can't do that no more. They can't kill you if you don't eat pig, if you don't eat things sacrificed to their gods. They can't do that. We are out of captivity. We're still in the land of our captivity, but we're out of captivity. And we're not going back. That's it. The Most High has said this. You will see it no more. No more will it be said that he will have to take us up out of a place anymore. We are this. They, no matter what they bring up, no matter how many 1960s crap they bring up, of psyops and rituals they bring up, no matter what they do with Tariq Nasheed, what they do with Bishop Talbert Swan, what they do with all these Boule coons, it don't matter what they do. We are not going back into slavery. The 1960s is never coming back. But it will for some of you if you don't stop eating things that are sacrificed unto their idols. They don't tell you this. They make it look good. They make it look, oh, hey man, have a nice cold Coke with this bacon cheeseburger. They make it look good now. Because if they told you, hey, obviously learn from the Maccabean Revolt. If they tell us to do something, they are so scared of us rising up righteously and taking vengeance out on them. And if you read all of Maccabees, the Most High was with them. They saved some of the temples. Judas Maccabee was a soldier, a rider. He was grabbing the Israelites. Like, come on, man, I ain't having this. We're gonna go after these people. And they were going after them. They were beating back the Greeks. They were giving them so much trouble. They had to go hide in the woods. They had to do their Shabbats in the woods. They were still keeping a Shabbat even when the Jerusalem was destroyed. They were protecting the women with their babies. This is what we were doing then. Not this gay crap we doing now. Not putting on dresses. Not being effeminate. Not whining about women. Not holding Kevin Samuel up, a gay Boule member. Not holding him up and say, oh yeah, black women need to be told what to say and what to do. Not following Andrew Tate. Everybody you see in mainstream media is Masonically controlled. There is no righteousness. Sometimes I wish the Most High would charge us with a revolt and allow us to revolt. This place will crumble. Especially if I knew the Most High would protect us and at the same time allow us to use these NPCs for our benefit. And the only way you could do that is if you truly following these Shabbats the proper way, on the proper calendar, and following these laws, statutes, and commandments. If you accept this covenant, you would be amazed of how this system will work for your benefit. If you're willing to trust the Most High. See, some of you are not willing to trust fully the Most High because you're scared of losing friends. You're scared of being outcast. You're scared of being mocked. You're scared. That's always going to be the difference in this walk, in the journey. How tough can you be? I'm not talking about physically tough. I'm talking about mentally and spiritually tough. Because it's going to be time, it's going to be time to knuck and buck. Shortly. I can't tell you how many crimes I've seen of people literally brazenly walking through Target and walking right out of Target with stuff in their hands. Nobody's stopping them. They're dismantling police departments. Alabama, because of this fake, they were sending racist texts. So they temporarily dismantled an Alabama police force. What they're going to do is Hegelian dialect you into wanting to defund the police departments. Based on what? Black folk and racism. They're going to continue to use our energy to get police to be temporarily disabled so they can come back with the New World Order police. Now I'm telling you, when they bring those world police, they're not going to have no sympathy for you, because they're most likely going to be from another country. I bet you they're already raising a shadow army, a shadow military police force that's going to come in and is not going to play no games with y'all. They're not going to look at an American and be like, oh, I sympathize with you. It ain't going to be none of that. You don't know what they're doing in the shadows. You don't know who they raising up. All them kids they kidnap, you don't know what they MK altering. For these people that have no feelings. You think you have a chance to be lawless? You want to chance yourself to be lawless in front of these people? You think, you know, George Floyd and Breonna Taylor is bad? Fam. You're going to want your own destruction if you acting lawless. They're going to bring a force in here that's not going to be nothing to play with. And that is why the whole January 6th thing has been propped up in front of you for the last 2 years. Because they know the liberal-minded. They know it doesn't take much for the liberal-minded to go off the rails. They seen black, that's why they don't never mention, when they mention the Capitol riots, they never mention for a short period of time those Black Lives Matter riots, and they tore up cities. I'm talking about billions of dollars of damage. They know exactly what they're doing. So when that new force come in, Y'all can act lawless in those streets and protest if you want. You setting yourself up to be judged. And it ain't them doing it. It's the Most High who kept saying, I'm gonna dip my sword, my glittering wet sword. I'm going to talk about this the next show. My glittering wet sword, I'm going to dip it into this world, and it's going to be bodies on the floor. Bodies on the floor. When the Most High started talking about the threshing floor, as in the metaphor with grapes, smashing grapes, how everything will be covered in blood. People think that they is playing. They think the Most High playing, because they can't understand the parables. Nobody in the church is talking about the book of Maccabees. Nobody's talking about it. They keep telling you Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. They keep telling you Jesus, the Son God Jesus, is going to come and save everybody. They're going to rapture up. It ain't going to be no rapturing. If anybody's going to be rapturing, it's going to be Israelites, because we took enough hell. But if we even get raptured, we are supposed to be witnesses to his power. He could have raptured the Israelites out of Egypt. No, he led them out. He showed them miracles and led them out. And that's the same thing is going to be here. He wants everybody to see it's been him the whole time. And when that happens, don't you want to be with a proper hedge? Don't you want to be in these commandments for a while now? Don't you want to be on the proper calendar? Don't you want to be on the proper Shabbat? Don't you want to do the proper feast days in this appointed time? Don't you want to do all that now? So when it comes to the time for Exodus, you are not waiting for the Exodus in the Gregorian calendar. You're waiting for it in the Enochian calendar. And I know the Most High is going to come back like a thief in the night, but at least you have an idea it won't be on the Gregorian calendar. It ain't going to be on a Friday evening to a Saturday evening. I'm going to tell you that. I didn't even mean this show to get that this long. I really didn't. But I got hype. Read the book of Maccabees. It's a great story. It even talks about us. It even talks about how they were Israelites who were so afraid of being so afraid to being destroyed that they decided to go against the Torah and join up with the Grecians, join up with Antiochus and them, just like they do now. Just like all the celebrities that y'all follow. I don't know why you still follow them. All these celebrities you guys follow, I don't know what you're learning from them. You ain't learning nothing from them. But all these celebrities you follow all are managed and controlled by the same nations, Rome and Greece, and overseered by the Ashkenaz. Y'all literally follow the puppets of your enemies. I don't know what for. I don't know what you engaging with it. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I mean, you guys like to see what's going on. I get it. But they're not going to tell you what's going to happen. I really sometimes fantasize, like, what would they do? Like, would they still be posting and talking about popping bottles on boats and G4 aircraft when it really goes down? Do you think they're ever going to come out and really say, hey, you guys need to calm down? Hey, you know, rely on us. Hey, watch us. We'll take care of you. I don't think they're ever going to do that. I really fantasize sometimes what's going to happen to these celebrities when it really hits the fan. What are they going to do? Are you guys going to look to them to see what they would say or do or follow what they say? Or are you going to be so scared that you're scared to go into that Torah? I wonder. It's football season's coming up. I know I'm going to lose almost half of you to that. You're going to sit there and watch another. You're going to watch low-key Gematria. Basically, what you're watching is Gematria. That's all you're watching it right now. They infested that sport. It's infested with Prince Hall Freemasons and York Scottish Rite Freemasons. It's infested. All those quarterbacks are pretty much Freemasons. Almost all of them are. So right now, you're going to go, and there's going to be some event that's going to happen that's your favorite team is going to lose, or something is going to be a controversial call or something, and you're going to sit there and scream and yell and shout. But it'd be a ritual. Everything is a ritual at this point. All these teams and these team names that they made and create, it's a ritual. Everything is a ritual. They cannot do anything randomly. Everything. Even to the destruction of New York was going to happen. Everything is done mathematically. Everything. See, that's when you see when you learn gematria, you don't want to watch sports anymore. Because you know every score means something. The playoff games are going to mean something numerically. The Super Bowl, it's going to mean something numerically. I don't know. You guys haven't, I don't know. Maybe because I played and I woke up from it and don't want to watch anymore, but I don't know why y'all want to still watch it. You're trying to hold on to a world that is slipping away from you. You might as well let it go. It's not going to help you. Nothing that's on that TV is going to help your hedge. It's not going to help your salvation. It's not going to help your protection. Going to these barbecues, these tailgates and all that, yes, it's all right for a while. But it's going to your spirit is going to awaken and drag you away from that. And you're going to wonder like why people are pissed at you or mad at you. And you're going to wonder why, really? You're going to wonder why you're getting in fights with some of your old friends. It's because your spirit is cooking it up so you don't want to be around these people. It happened to me. I found the friends that I used to do drugs with, I would randomly get in arguments with them and then block them on text. Then I was doing that so much. I was doing it with like old exes and stuff. Like get into weird arguments over nothing and then be mad and blocking them from my page. Then I sat back and think like, why does that keep happening? The Most High has got a spirit on me. The Most High got a spirit on me to cook up an argument to get me, because that's my thing. My thing is if you piss me off, I'm blocking you. And that's what that spirit, whatever that spirit Most High put on me is to block people when I get in arguments with them. And so that's why I'm not around my old friends as much. So understand that. If it happens to you, it's going to happen that way. You're going to wonder why you arguing with your old friends or arguing with your friends. Don't think it's you. Well, think it's you, but in a different way. Know that the spirit and the ruach and you're being watched over to pull you away from something that's going to be damaging to your spirit, damaging to your walk. So learn to let go. I'll see y'all next week.